Good morning. It's good to see you all. Good to be with you. My name's Kirk Hudson. I'm the executive pastor of Grace Church and School, and it's awesome to be with you, to be in God's Word today. And if you're not involved in a small group, just like the video said, there's information out in front. As a church, we believe life change, life transformation best happens in small groups. So if you're not part of a group, invite you to be a part of one, or just ask what it's like, or visit one to see you know, what might appeal to you in whatever generation that you might connect with. But it's a way to study the Word, share life together, and so welcome you to be a part of the small group ministry. I have a couple of announcements before I get started. One, you probably noticed in the drive-in, there's some construction that has started in the back of this building. It'll go on for the next several months. We hope that it'll be uneventful and not interrupt anything as far as the flow of driving into the parking lot. But as the building goes, there's a chance that it'll be delayed or the driveway will be blocked. I don't know what could happen, but just be patient with us on that. We're thankful for to be able to do that, to expand this auditorium that way. Secondly, baby Tropea, born Tuesday at 12:34 a.m. this week. So Michael and Alexa, they're doing great. Abram Joseph Tropea was born Tuesday, so Michael is not here, even though he is leading membership class in the other room. So that's how you get me. And so we want to celebrate that new life as part of Grace Community here at the UB campus. The other thing I want to share with you is that most of you know, many of you will know, Fred and Cynthia Pate, and Jake and Jamie Kirby. Both of those families lost a family member this week, and so we want to remember that, remember them. Dick Pate, Fred's father, longtime elder here at Grace, died this week. I think he was 96 years old. Faithful elder of Grace Community. He was such a treasure to me when I first became an elder here at Grace, spending time with me, sharing what life is like as an elder, and just how God worked through him for so many years to impact people here at Grace. And then Anna Crawford, Jamie Kirby's sister, who's 49 years old, she passed away tragically and suddenly this week while they were visiting family in Kansas City. So pray with me as we remember those and celebrate what God is doing with new life, but as certain that we can celebrate lives that are taken from us, either in Dick's case as a long life, but suddenly with Anna, we want to remember those and trust God with them. So pray with me. Father, we're gracious. We're grateful for your graciousness, your kindness in our lives. Thank you for being able to join together and be in your word. Lord, we celebrate the new life of Abram Joseph Tropea for Michael and Alexa. Lord, we pray that you'll be with Fred and Cynthia and the Pate family as they celebrate Dick's life and what an awesome blessing he was to so many in that family and to many here at Grace. And also ask you to be with Jared and Cole and Jack of the Crawford family as they are deeply saddened and will grieve the loss of their wife and a mother, and for Jamie, the loss of a sister. So be with them, comfort them, and we know that you are gracious and kind, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. We're going to be in Genesis 17, so if you want to turn there, we're going to take a little time before I read there. But we're going to take a look as our continuing journey in Genesis. We're going to look at Abraham's life, kind of a midpoint of where the Genesis has us with Abraham. God calls us to a faithful, obedient life. We're going to see how that shows up in Abraham's life. And I want to give you a window of that, what that looks like in a minute. But we're going to see the covenant relationship that God has with Abraham. Covenant relationship, it's a big deal. It's God's promise and his grace to unite himself with his chosen people, us as believers. That's the seriousness of a covenant relationship. So we're going to see how that plays out in Genesis 17. Abraham's walk with God and the seriousness of how that covenant relationship plays out. We'll see a gift of new identities for Abram and Sarai, changing their names. He gives them new identities. Second, we'll feel the assurance of God's promise to Abram. Third, we'll get up close and very personal with Abraham's obedience to God and fulfill Abraham's part of the covenant. So as we connect in the next part of this Abraham story, I want us to try to imagine ourselves in the story with eyes and ears bent toward giving Abram empathy and understanding to what he is facing in this covenant relationship, the seriousness of what God's promise is and the assurance that he will fulfill that. God has called Abram to a life of faithful obedience. God has called us to that same life of faithful obedience. And so I want to give you a window. I'm going to put up a couple of words on the screen with a little help from the back. That this faithful obedience, there's a tension there. And what the faith is and then the obedient walks. That it's rooted in God's grace and it's covered in his mercy. So we never escape the unending, inexhaustible grace of God as well as his mercy that we're covered in. But there's a little bit of tension between the word faithful and obedience that I want to walk through. Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3 defines faith. It's the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So this faith part that brings the assurance of hope and the conviction of what we can't see, Abram walks this line, that he lives a life of faith, but he's not quite sure how that plays out, even taking charge of certain things in his life. So in the obedience part of taking that next step of willful submission, there's a quote that I want to share with you. David Benner, in his book, Desiring God's Will, describes obedience this way. God does not want obedience as the fruit of our willful determination. God wants surrender as a choice of the heart. For what we long for in our heart, we will pursue with the totality of our being, not simply with the resolve of our will. Our sheer determination and might as finite humans won't get us there. We need to rely upon the faith that God gives us so that we can walk in obedience in the change of our heart. Abraham was called to leave everything familiar behind, venture into the unknown. And he faced this unknown, and he might have had some fears just like we do. Yet God called him, and Abraham's response is what we focus on today. The hope and the conviction to be faithfully obedient to God. Now, as we see ourselves in the story, I want to give you a question to think about. What would life have been like if you were living that life with Abram and then later Abraham? That question has become important to me in the last few years. My wife Kelly and I, we've been married 34 years. We met in 10th grade English class, became high school sweethearts, and we've known each other for 40 years. So we probably know each other pretty well. But in the last few years, as we've grown in sharing life with one another, we've begun to ask a question when we face moments of doubt, conflict between the two of us, or just things we need to work out. We ask the other person, what's that like for you? It's been amazing to both of us to see our kind of softness and settling to describe, you know what, that was kind of hard. Or that was really great. I had a lot of joy in that. But we've been able to use that question, and so I give it to you to look through this life of Abraham, that it allows you to go deeper with one another as you face life and drives you deeper into learning and loving each other. And what would have been like if we had to have that opportunity to sit with Abram and give empathy to him? Empathy is a new word for me in the last few years, not knowing what empathy truly was. Empathy is giving compassion, sitting and listening with another person, loving them within the situation that they're in. And so if we don't have that empathy, sometimes we miss the opportunity to look at those two beautiful attributes that I showed you just a minute ago. So if you'll just put up that whole word set, is that those attributes of mercy covering us and grace rooting us, we can walk in faithful obedience. So let me backtrack a little bit, catch you up to where we are now, because Jacob, Helmezzi 2 weeks ago was in chapter 11. Max was in chapter 12. So there's a lot's happened to get to chapter 17. So I want to give you a little picture of that and keep those thoughts in mind that I shared with you. That in chapter 12, you see an intimacy building between God and Abram. As Max shared with us last week, that God said to Abram, go. God initiated to Abram, and Abram responded. This mutual love and trust built a foundation that made space for the covenant to flourish. Abram didn't hesitate. He obeyed God's calling, and his obedience was not out of a willful obligation, but a response to the grace that he received from God. It's essential for you and me to recognize that the obedience that we have, it grows out of the grace that God has given us. And we all know that we burn through a lot of grace. Dallas Willard, if you're not familiar with his work, but he describes Christians as burning grace like a 747 burning jet fuel on takeoff. We need a lot of grace. In chapter 15, God further reveals his covenant plan to Abram and stating, fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. This is not merely a statement of safety, but an indication of God's unwavering commitment to Abram. He assures Abram that his faith is counted as righteousness, not because of any of his acts or anything that he could do on his own, but it was because of his faith. Now, don't misunderstand, in no way that I'm suggesting so far that Abram lives a perfect life. We can see in chapter 13 that Abram and Sarai concoct a plan to deceive the Egyptian people with a lie to curry favor with Pharaoh. They were on their way to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. Abram wants to take care of his family. He needs food. They go to Egypt. But as they approach, he convinces Sarah to lie to the people to say, you're my sister, not my wife, so they will curry favor. This didn't go so well, not exactly as planned, but God, in his mercy, got them out of it to the benefit of Abram. With additional livestock, wealth, and new people added to his family to care for. Then again in chapter 16, Abram and Sarah feel the deep sadness of not having children of their own. They drag another person into their selfish acts of sin. But God, in his mercy, Hagar, she becomes pregnant with Ishmael, and God redeems that for Hagar and the family line to follow through Ishmael, as well as new identities for Abram and Sarai. God keeps his promise even when we wander from him. We're going to read chapter 17 in a minute, but I want you to keep an eye on that faithful obedience, grace, and mercy covering us. I'm going to read through verse 22. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me. Be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you. May multiply you greatly. And then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations. Kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. To God and to you, your offspring after you, and I will give you and your offspring the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money, from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God said to Abraham, for Sarai your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. And then Abraham took Ishmael and his son and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among them of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. There's a lot in there. Wanted to read most all of that because you have a couple of name changes. You have the phrase, my covenant is between me and you, repeated several times. So you see the importance of what God is doing and what Abraham is facing. That's why I want you to try to put yourself in there and really feel what's going on. But you also see an intimacy with God and Abraham while God is expressing his authority over his life. Abraham's 99 years old, God appearing to him, declaring, I am God Almighty. Here's my plan for you. As God Almighty, God speaks to Abram's life with authority and power. I am God Almighty. Walk before me. Be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Abram at this point was just thinking, I just want one child to be my heir. Wants a boy. But he's very specific and he's not thinking about what God has as greatly as what God has in store for him. So the evidence of God's authority, God gives new identities to Abram and Sarai. The covenant is clear, and out of God's kindness, Abram can now know exactly what God has for him. He outlines his covenant in verse 4 through 8. So I'm going to read it again. Behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations, not just one person, not one child, but a multitude of nations. I am giving you a new name. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful and will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring and throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your offspring after you. And I will give you and your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, an everlasting possession. As we've read, in the journey of Abram, he was only thinking, I just want one heir, Lord. Just give me one child that I can call my own. This forms a bond between God and Abram that highlights God's grace. God's grace is his unmerited favor, but also his power to work through us. God changes his name from Abram, father of many, and Sarai's name from my princess, is what Sarai means, and transforming them into Abraham and Sarah, being father of many nations and princess of multitude. So not just the pain of not having any kids, but now they're going to be over multitudes of generations. The new identity signifies God's grace working within them, giving them a purpose far beyond what they could have imagined. We are transformed by the working of God's grace in our lives. We are able to submit obedience, not just out of the willful obligation, but God's word gives us power, the power of his Holy Spirit, and living in community with the body of Christ and his transformational work in our lives. We begin to reflect the beauty of Jesus and the work of Jesus that he did for us on the cross. In verse 17, we begin to see the assurance of that promise that God made to Abraham. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man as 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And mind you, I'm going to be 57 next week. My wife is just a little bit younger than I am. And if we had this situation, I'm not sure did we just do but laugh. But I think it is a moment where commentators take two sides. One, he's laughing out of just the disbelief, or he's laughing because he's so joyful because of what God is doing in his life. Either way, the seriousness of the covenant being realized in Abraham is before us. Verse 18, Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." So Abraham takes a step back. So he needs the assurance from God. He's focused on Ishmael. God has far more ahead of him than just that. God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I've heard you." God hears our prayers. He hears our pleas. "Behold, I've blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you." This assurance from Abram to Abraham that God is giving is that this is the relationship. This is the seriousness of which I have fulfilled my promise with you. God promises Abraham, despite their old age, they will have a son, Isaac. He will be the heir. The promise is demonstration of God's grace. He fulfills his promises even when we feel inadequate or limited by our human circumstances. In the coming months, my wife Kelly and I are going to walk through some difficult choices, difficult decisions with my dad. He's 87 years old. His name is Barry. We call him Big Daddy. He's living in Oklahoma. We live here. There's going to be some tough choices that we have to make, either with his partnership that he gets to make on his own or together, or we have to make some for him. I have an older brother and a younger sister. This is going to be hard for us. But I know that if I try to work my plan, that I will come up with answers that probably don't work for Big Daddy. In this uncertainty, I might think of things as the perfect plan, and in reality, it just might be my desire to control or control somebody else. And believe me, I've had already a couple of conversations with Big Daddy that sound like that. I'm the type of person that likes to work the first steps of eight steps of the plan, my plan. And if you kind of mess up step four, I'm going to remind you that I have step eight in mind for you. Despite uncertainties that Abraham faced, or that we might face, doubts, questions that we bring along, God's mercy shines brightly. God is patient and reassures us of the promise and reaffirms the relationship. God's plan is certain for us. God is willing to walk alongside us in our doubts and our failures, just as he did with Abraham. He hears our prayers. Even in brokenness, when we approach God in reverence, he hears us. All right, now we're going to head towards the end. It's time for Abraham to act. Abraham's obedience to God. The response to Abraham is key. It showcases his faith and his commitment to the covenant. He demonstrates by circumcising himself and all the males in his household. Immediate obedience signifies a deep commitment to God's covenant and a willingness to trust in his promises. Verse 22, when he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Abraham took Ishmael his son and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. The significance of this, the shedding of blood, the cutting of flesh, a physical sign of the covenant between God and Abraham. Circumcision was a proclamation, identification for generations to come. But that sin and the representation of the blood being shed, the flesh being cut, we can also picture forward in God's promise of Jesus to come and the sacrifice that he would make on the cross. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, the word says, "The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live." Circumcision of the heart is an inward transformation. But the actual outward act of circumcision of the flesh points to the cutting away of the flesh and the sin and the heart. God's mercy for you and me is the provision of Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus shedding of blood as the complete sacrifice once and for all. So what's the application for us? So if you'll pull back up that picture of the faithful obedience rooted in grace, covered in mercy. I'm going to turn back to the writer of Hebrews, verse 12. I love this verse that says, therefore, that's a big word, therefore, that we can look back to all the way into Genesis, that we have since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So, church, just like Abraham, we're called to live faithful obedience, rooted in God's grace and covered in his mercy. No matter the uncertainties before us, we have a God who is faithful to his promises, so we can respond like Abraham, trusting, obeying, always looking to the cross, where our salvation is secured. God's grace is sufficient, and his mercy is everlasting. Pray with me. Father, thanks for allowing us the beauty of your word that we can picture our life of faithful obedience in Abraham and Sarah. Lord, the beauty of your grace, the wonder of your mercy captivates our heart, Lord, that we want to follow fast after you. So thank you for your grace. We trust and grateful for what Jesus did for us on the cross. Amen.